Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus podcast, where we bring together tech leaders and founders from all across the globe to share their time, their insights, and their expertise with us so that you can grow your business. My name is Gary Lafferty, your host and founder of the Authority Partnerships, where we take experts in the tech field and we elevate them to the authority status by turning their conversations into clients and their expertise into pipelines. Now, on this episode, I've been really waiting to get to this episode because we're going to cover so much from it. But stay tuned, because the top three things we're going to be talking about is how a personal mission, a personal circumstance can turn into a massive mission regarding your business. How sometimes taking a pivot is not such a bad thing and actually can turn a small business into a fledgling, humongous business. But more importantly, how sometimes finding the right partners, treating those partners well, can end up getting to your end users far more effectively and efficiently. So we've got so much to cover on this particular episode. So get your pen and paper out, get your cup of coffee, sit on the edge of your seats, because we're about to get started. So without further ado, Ryan, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Why don't you start off by just introducing yourself and telling us who you are and what is it that you do?
Well, I appreciate you, Gary, and I appreciate you having me on the podcast today, and it's a pleasure to meet everybody that's listening. My name is Ryan Seberg. I'm the founder and CEO of Ear Systems, Inc. We are actually an EMAR, which is an electronic medication administration record, a medication, basically medical software for drug treatment centers, behavioral health centers, basically anybody that needs to know who's in what bed, getting what medication at what time. We do all the background work for a lot of these, you know, basically patients that get overlooked. We make sure they can get the treatment they need at the right cost, at the right price, and really been growing a lot lately. So very excited to hopefully share some wisdom and knowledge and learn from y'all as well.
Well, listen, I can't wait to dive deeper into this and really enjoy our chat here. But as per usual, let's start from the very beginning. Let's dial it a little bit back. And can you tell us and share with us, Ryan, what led you to go from professional football to funding and founding your very first tech startup?
Yeah, so I appreciate the question. So just to give you all a little background, Keller here, I played professional football for about 5 years in my early 20s. It was my dream, my goal, my entire life. It was all I ever really truly wanted to do growing up. And, you know, as you kind of grow and the injuries start piling up, you know, Gary and I were just talking about rugby and all the injuries he had. You know, I was like a magnet for injuries when I turned professionals. Started having all these, you know, injuries little by little and had to start thinking about a second path after that. And I eventually had this career-ending injury where I, you know, basically broke my elbow and had to have all these different surgeries. Came home, got prescribed all these different opioids. And this was peak opioid crisis. And around that same time, you know, I was looking at my counter and I had over 100 OxyContin just sitting on my counter right there. And I had a friend, my best friend growing up, had actually recently passed away from an opioid overdose. And as, you know, as hard and as sad as that is, I think when bad things happen, there's two things you can do. You can either wallow in it, or you use it as motivation to make a difference. You know, you use the expertise and experience you have to make a difference, almost in honor of that person. And so I sat down with my father. You know, he was an ER physician for around 40 years. And I basically said, hey, how do prescriptions work? And he walked me through, hey, this is what we don't like, this is what we like, and this is what we need. And so that really gave me the kernel to really start, you know, developing my own software. I worked in a coffee shop for like 6 months, coding 12 hours a day, I didn't even own a computer at the beginning of this. So I basically taught myself how to code from scratch, built a really rough version of the software that we were able to raise money and get some interest on. And, you know, that led to an e-prescribing software, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a second. And then that transitioned into the EMAR. So it's been a interesting journey, to say the least.
No, it absolutely has. And as you said, you know, you had a life-altering moment, you had a life-altering injury that obviously stopped the trajectory that you were actually going on. And, you know, and with your friends passing, how did that spark the mission in you and say, right, this is where I've got to go now?
Yeah. So I think, you know, obviously, you know, growing up in the U.S., especially down south, I'm from Tennessee originally, you know, football is like lifeblood down here. So whenever you are kind of growing up, that's really your plan A, B, C, and D. And I think that's the older you get, you start to realize, you know, I was having this where I was seeing people who were 30, 35, holding on to a dream that just wasn't there anymore. And so it kind of, you know, inspired me when I was younger to really try and start looking for another path. You know, where can I take the talent and the lessons I've learned, which is, you know, extreme dedication. I would always outwork anybody. I would always out, you know, hustle anybody. You know, when times get hard, put pedal to the metal, I'll make sure I always deliver. How do I take those skills that were kind of, you know, beat into me young with sports? How do I translate that into my next mission? And, you know, with my friend passing away, you know, it really was hard for a while, but I always try to make, you know, find the light in the darkness. And I felt that by creating something that could actually help people that were in similar situations, maybe falling through the cracks, that I could make a big difference, that I could actually, you know, help somebody in his position. And I remember talking to my father when I was like, what was it like when you found out you were a doctor? And he showed me something that his own dad had cut out for him when he graduated medical school. And it said something about, you know, physicians, all you need to do is change one life and it makes your life worth living, something like that. And I remember that was very, you know, impactful on me because I realized that if I could just change one person's life, save one life and make someone's life a little better, it would make my life and everything that I had gone through up to that point worth it. So that was kind of the kernel of the spark to make that happen.
Yeah, no, what a fascinating story that is. And I actually love that. And it's the same in the business world, isn't it? When you can change someone's life, help them. And again, like this podcast, if there's one founder, one leader out there who your insights and our chats together can knock them into a different trajectory that's good for them and helps them grow their business, it's just a rinse and repeat then, isn't it? And then we get to enjoy life every day knowing that we gave good value. So I know we're going to talk a little bit about your e-prescribing, but let's talk about what is it you're doing today. So for those who are unaware of exactly what you do, tell us about the product that you have now, who's it for, and what is the problem that it's solving for people out there?
Yeah, so we have what's called an EMAR, which is an electronic medication administration record. So in healthcare right now, basically everything gets controlled by these electronic healthcare companies. So the EHRs, electronic healthcare records. What they do basically is they're like the central repository where all the data from your hospital visits, prescriptions, you know, how much payment information all goes to them. And where they have a gap though is the actual administering of those medications that get prescribed, sent to them, sent from the pharmacies. So what my software does is we plug into an EHR that then plugs into a hospital clinic, and we basically take every person that's getting prescribed for each day. We put them in either beds or we have windows for them to go get medications. They can actually administer drugs. They can print out labels for take-home medications. We also monitor like med counts. So if you have medications in your facility that you need to keep track of, we basically keep track of the different medications, how much you have left for each patient. You can reorder from our software. We basically do the nitty gritty nobody likes to think about that keeps a system running, and we make it as intuitive and easy with as little clicks as possible. So that's where we've really seen ourselves filling care gaps that health record companies currently can't have. And that's really where we have, you know, started to see a lot of benefit with patients that, you know, we just got off a call not too long ago with, it's a women's shelter, right? For women that are abused or going through addiction. And they were doing everything on paper and they just couldn't keep up with all the regulations they had. So we get to come in there. I get to meet these people, sit down with them, learn their stories, which is what I love the most. And I actually get to see that, hey, by making their lives easier, they can focus on what they do best, which is helping these women. And I take care of all the back end work, like making sure that, you know, she's in the right bed. She's getting the right medications. They're keeping track of what food she's eating so they can monitor her weight. We do all that little background work to make sure those patients can get the best care possible.
You know, again, it comes down to, you say it like it just rolls off your tongue. And that's what I really like about it. You know, when I'm chatting to you before and we're talking about this kind of, although it just rolls off your tongue, it's such a prevalent thing, is that you're just making people's lives easier. That's it. What is a problem that's already out there? And you just go out and find a way to solve it, make their life easier. And that's, you know, a good foundation for success, rather than the traditional tech field, which is let's build it and they will come.
Yeah.
This is so great that they're just going to come. And actually, the complete opposite is what you're doing for success. You go, look, there's a problem, and that's what we're going to go out and solve.
Yeah.
It's a great way of doing things.
That's what I literally, that was something we learned really early on, because I know we'll talk about the e-prescribing. The first product we built that we sold was, we built this blockchain e-prescribing system, and we were so excited about the cool technology we had. And I remember one of the first doctors I pitched to, I was like, yeah, we do this blockchain technology. He goes, I'm going to stop you right there. He goes, I have never once woken up and said, wow, I hope this crazy new technology makes my day better. He goes, just do it. Just make my day better. And that's when I realized you can have all these awesome bells and whistles, but unless you're actually listening to your clients, you're listening to the people you're selling to, they're going to tell you where your product needs to go. And they're going to tell you where the market's heading. And so that's been a big focus of our business, is making sure that we are always forming relationships. I go out there and do in-person implementations as much as I can. So I get to meet the people. They get to know me as a person. They have my personal phone number because they will tell me what I need to do to make my product as useful and as helpful as possible to their patients. And that's a win for everybody.
No, and I'm glad you mentioned that as well. Relationships are absolutely key. We're going to break down lead generation and sales and time in a minute as we break through this episode. But obviously, like everything else, relationships are key, and it's getting harder and harder to build those relationships today. Trust is getting harder and harder to build. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that a little bit later on and what you're actually doing. But I want to go back to the e-prescribing just very quickly. You mentioned the e-prescribing. How did you pivot from e-prescribing to EMR? And how did that actually come about? And, you know, what kind of signals were you getting? Go, do you know what? This is the right move to make now.
Yeah. So we had started this e-prescribe. We started our business June 18th, 2018, right? And so we built up this e-prescribing for about a year and a half, and we decided to roll it out in March 2020, which I'm sure y'all remember was the worst time in human history to ever roll out a new medical software. So we had some really hard times that we eventually closed our first like big deal. We started signing EHRs up, and we were growing pretty rapidly. But then we had an EHR partner of ours come to us and they said, hey, we really like your e-prescribe, but we need an EMR. And I think if you have an EMR that can use e-prescribing, that would be a game changer. And so we obviously listened to the customers, like I just said, and we told them, yeah, sure, we can build that out. And then we started doing more research, and I started to see that the e-prescribing market was such a brutal market. There's some very large players in it. It's a lot of work to convince somebody to rip one software out completely and replace it. It's long integrations. And so the EMR, we felt, was a very staid market. There was some competitors in there that were pretty large, but they hadn't made updates in years. People were really unhappy. And so the more research we did, we felt that the opportunity was much greater. And being a small company, we had to make a choice. Like, I've always been, I don't think you can half-ass anything. You can't be half in and half out. So you have to really commit to something. So we decided to sell the one business to a French company, the e-prescribing, and go all in on the EMR, which we've done over the past 2 years. And honestly, it's been really great so far. So feeling pretty good about the choices we made.
I bet you are. Fantastic story. So let's talk about that growth. You've had tremendous growth, like you said, over the last 24 months. What has been the most effective strategy for generating leads and sales for you, let's say, over the last 12 months as you've gained that momentum?
I think, we spoke a little bit about that with relationships, but honestly, it's the same thing I think what I loved about football is owning your own business is whatever you get out of it is exactly what you put into it. And so I'm a big believer, and I'm the guy that would create his own CRM. I scraped the internet myself for hours finding different EHRs that I could call. I was calling them every day. And there was days where, I'm sure as you know, Gary, cold calls, I'm laying on the floor because I've gotten 600 no's. But that one yes that finally turns the corner, just making sure our name gets out there. And little by little, I started talking to these people. And there was one company, AdvancedMD, which is a very large EHR. I was talking to their sales reps, you know, making the connections, talking about music, making them sure they got to know me as a person. And eventually it got to the point where I felt we had a good enough relationship. They were willing to take a chance on us with zero customers at that time, which was a huge opportunity for us. And I don't think we would have gotten there if we hadn't put all the groundwork before that to make sure that that relationship was strong, that we were somebody they could trust, like you were talking about, that somebody they liked as a person and they saw the value in the product. And I think that's a big thing with any startup, and I'm sure anybody listening here, a lot of people tend to, risk is hard for businesses. So I feel like a lot of people tend to use the safe route, which is a system they don't like, but they know works and it's a little bulky, probably not great. But you have this great new system. How do you identify what are the points that I need to make sure that I hit on so they'll make that switch? And how do they begin to trust me enough to know that I can deliver? And I think really, like I said, you know, making sure you fly out there, take them to dinner, get them to know you as a person. Because when they know you as a person, they're willing to trust you as a business. It's something I wholeheartedly believe at the end of the day.
You know, I want to, there's going to be people listening to this because as you're talking there, Ryan, my brain's constantly going. We can always tell my eyes are all over the place, right? They're trying to shoot down stars in the sky or something, because I'm always where he's thinking. And I'm sure there's people, listeners out there and people who are watching this going, did he just say he landed a really big deal with no history, no testimonial, no case studies? You know, let's talk us through that, because I know it seems so far long gone now. Yeah. But that's such a big thing when you're first trying to kick off, right? When it's something that's really important to you. I know you've skirted on it, but let's dive into that a little bit. What did you do? What actually helped build that trust? Because we now live in a world where trust is so hard to build. Everyone's sounding the same. Everyone's saying that we are the best in the world at doing this stuff. You know, whatever that stuff, whether it be a SaaS, whether it be a SaaS, whether it be a VARs, whether it be an MSP, it doesn't matter. Everyone's saying the same thing. Talk us through what and how you did what you did.
So I honestly, you know, as you know, in healthcare and any business, I feel like you're going to get 1,000 no's before you get a yes. And so one thing we did with the e-prescribing is, it was about 7 years ago, I'll never forget, we had a potential, me and my brother were in Wyoming to drive to Sundance, Wyoming, which is a town of like 200 people. That's where Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, first got arrested. That's where he got his name from. And there was a small clinic out there that wanted to use our e-prescribing. And so I was calling people, and Advanced MD actually set up a call with us. So we were driving white knuckle through a blizzard. We had to pull into a Tractor Supply warehouse parking lot and did this pitch. And they weren't interested at the time because we were too small. But that was 7 years ago. So I did not let up for 7 years. I continued to email them, call them, and not in an annoying way, but just to call in and check in like, hey, like, how's it? I heard you had a kid. Like, how's it going? Like, oh, it's Ryan from Ear Systems. So I became somebody they were at least familiar with, because I didn't take that no and just say, screw it, I'm on to the next person. I think you have to continue building relationships. So when we finally made that pivot to an EMAR, a lot of it was timing, where they were very unhappy with their current partner, but they came back to me and said, hey, we know you have this EMAR now. We've known you for 5 years. Like, we really like you as a person. Show us what you have with the EMAR. So that's kind of what got us through the door. And then once we had like a groundswell of support from sales reps, from some of the business development reps, the executives took notice, and they had 5 years of notes of me calling them, you know, pestering them nonstop. I think that's really what got us through the door, was building up that groundswell of support by making sure you remember the little things, you know, remembering the guy's birthdays, remembering, you know, if they had a kid, does their kid have a soccer tournament? Asking them about that, just making sure you keep them apprised, because a no can always turn into a yes. It's never final. So that's one thing I think we just did a really good job of, is letting them get to know us as a person, showing them all the progress we made. And then they were willing to take a chance on us because they believed in who we were as a company and as an owner. So that was something they were willing to take a chance on.
I think that really goes back down to the tenacity that you have, Ryan. And like you said before, you're going to outgraft everybody. You're going to keep on going. There's a lot of people out there today who are struggling. And it's not because their product or their service isn't great. It's just because they're not necessarily putting in the hard graft to keep it going. They're hiding behind, you know, the keyboard warrior to a degree, and trying to automate everything. So this is probably a question which I already know the answer to, but do you find it easier to grow through relationship and partnerships, or do you find it easier to grow through outbound marketing-led activities?
So honestly, the way we market is two separate ways. So I believe for me, the EHRs, going to the big EHRs, where if we get an EHR, we get a large batch of customers, right? Because they have thousands of users. I feel that relationships are obviously the most important part, but you can't begin those relationships until you do the outbound research. Because I've had people get on calls and be like, yeah, I see you've emailed us 42 times over the past 2 years. I was like, I will keep emailing you till you get on this call. So I think once you kind of get that door cracked open, that's where the relationship takes over. So I don't care if I have to get on a call and spend 30 minutes talking to a guy about his summer plans, you know, at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, that's what makes you different, is that you're a real person. These people actually like talking to you. And so I feel that the outbound work is very important, making sure you're sending hundreds of emails, make sure you're doing the cold calls. But once you actually get in, you know, it's not a formula. Just be a person, be your real self, because that's what people love about you. I think at the end of the day, is you wouldn't be who you are if you weren't special right now, running a business, starting something, taking a chance. And people will hear that and see that. And they, you know, a lot of people really wish they could have the, you know, the balls to do what you're doing. And so if you can show them who you are as a person, that's really where that relationship starts to really grow. And I think that's, at the end of the day, what gets it over the line. You can have a great product, but if you're not a great person, a great seller, I don't think you're ever going to have anything at the end of the day.
No, they're very wise words there, Ryan. And I think, like, the thing about we see in tech is that there's still a degree of authority, you know, founder-led sales. It doesn't matter if they're a million, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million. There's an element of founder-led sales. But founder-led marketing almost seems to be kicked to the side. It's kind of like, I'll start it off being the face of the company and then I'll kick it to the side and hopefully some automation will take over or my marketing team will take over. How do you feel about being the face of the company, you know, about being out there and making sure that people know you, like you said, as the person, as a person over and above everybody else being special, as you would call it?
I think, you know, I appreciate the question. I do think whenever you're a young startup, you're like a one-man band at the end of the day. You may have a tech team, some people helping you, but the founder drives everything, I think, especially as a small startup. And so I love it. It's sometimes everybody tells me you can't be a one-man band forever. And I completely understand that. And so that's where when you reach a certain point where you start having multiple partnerships, you're starting to bring in revenue, you're starting to really grow. You then have to create the system where you're hiring the right people that kind of fit your marketing, your personality, and you have to kind of create a team. And I think it all goes back to sports where, you know, my college team was horrible. We were horrible. But we had so many people go to the NFL, but we just weren't a good team together. We didn't like each other. We weren't very close. And so I think business is very similar where, you know, as you start to grow, you have to bring on people that you like hanging out with that can kind of create that family atmosphere who can also get the job done because you won't be able to continue to do everything. As a founder right now, I'm doing sales calls, implementations, customer service, marketing, tech, you know, it's a lot, but I'm also bringing on people that I know that can take over some of those responsibilities. And that's what I feel so confident about is our business continuing to grow because I brought the right people in and I actually like them as people. And so that to me kind of creates that family atmosphere, which is where I think a lot of greatness comes from in terms of business that I've seen at least.
No, I couldn't agree more. You know, and when we've been speaking before, you said hiring the wrong person was such a massive lesson for you, you know, and this is the key thing when it comes to building a team, you're going to get it wrong sometimes. What else hasn't worked for you in your journey that you believe other founders should hear about?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's like you said, Gary, I think hiring the right people is the biggest thing. We've had hires that have set us back months, years. Like there's people who, a lot of people will, they want to come in, they talk a really good game, but then they don't actually do anything. And as a startup, you can't just have dead weight like that. That was a big thing is just making sure we ask the right questions and be quick to fire, slow to hire is something I was taught and I should have listened to a little better early on. But one thing that we've kind of seen as well too is I think a lot of people will always tell you what you should do with your business. And so you're getting a lot of, whether you have a board, you have friends, you have family, you have, you know, advisors telling you what you should do. And a lot of that has kind of muddied the waters for us where we're getting pulled in a lot of different directions. I think you should always be secure in your path, have an idea of where you want this to go. And you're going to get a lot of good information, absorb that, take that in. But if that strays you from the path that you truly believe is best for your business, stick to that path because we've had it somewhere. We've gone in certain directions that turned out to be a total waste of time because we got pressure from an advisor to do so. And I think we knew in our hearts that it would have been better to stay on the path we were on. But, you know, as a business, you have to be lean, especially as a startup, and you can't waste time like that. So if you have a goal, you have a direction you want it to take, stick to that because you got it this far. And so I think you know what's best for your business. Nobody else will be able to tell you that. I think you will always know what's best. Take information, listen to everybody, but don't let it take away from your ultimate mission at the end of the day. That was a big lesson we had to learn early on.
Yeah, and it's a lesson they're going to be learning throughout the whole entrepreneurial career. Like you said, there's always going to be people. And as entrepreneurs, we do tend to seek advice too. And by seeking advice, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to take that advice, but it also doesn't mean we have to dismiss it. But finding that balance of how it sits with your mission, it sits with your future and how and what you believe the future is going to hold for you is very, very important. So let's talk a little bit about the future now. You know, you've had great growth in the last 24 months, exponential growth, particularly in the last 12 months. What are you doubling down on over the course of the next 12 months?
So we've started to really see in the methadone and like Spravato, which is like a drug-resistant depression treatment nasal spray. There are these really unique workflows that right now for Spravato, we know there is no EMR. There's really no system that can actually manage Spravato medications the way they need to. It's a very unique workflow. So we've kind of identified the methadone, the, you know, substance use disorder, methadone, buprenorphine, and Spravato. Spravato, basically these niche drugs that have a huge market. We've really kind of refined our process to start working with some Indian tribes. We have some, you know, some facilities in Arizona that are using us right now. And we can really start to like perfect that process. I think will open up a whole new market for us. So for us, it's really starting to identify. We've got a lot of partnerships now. We've got 4 EHR integrations coming on in the next 3 months. So my tech team's going to kill me, but they're going to be super busy. But I think it's really starting to identify the new markets that really are kind of untouched, and starting to really put a lot of our effort into that and making the relationships, much like AdvancedMD. There's somebody we have right now with Spravato who's the national spokesperson for the drug. And so I know if I continue putting in, I impress him with not only our work, but who I am as a person, I know he'll be one that can actually go out there and, you know, advocate for us. And he's the one that can actually go to people and say, hey, we have this system that actually works for us. Because a lot of times you'll see, I think with any business, it feels like there's these large customers that you'll never be able to displace, but you don't realize these large customers stopped listening to their customers a long time ago. And so for me, a big thing to do is identify where are they not listening to them and what markets have they not touched? And then putting all your effort into those, I think really makes you a force to be reckoned with, because that is an untapped potential that you can kind of fill that gap, whatever that may be.
Just again, listening to you there, and it's finding that gap in it, finding where nobody else is, because there's so much noise in tech. It doesn't matter what the specialty niche is. Tech is just very, very, very noisy. So finding that gap where either people aren't doing it or they're not doing it well enough, you know, it's a tremendous hole to go and fill. Yeah. So how do you get that message out, Ryan, in your opinion, with so much tech, so much noise in the tech industry, irrespective of niche? What content or communication strategy helps you stand out above everybody else?
Honestly, I think for me, I'm pretty old school. Like, I don't have any social media. I have a LinkedIn that I obviously run for my business, but I think phone calls and people actually getting to hear your voice and getting to know you as a person, whether it's in person or phone calls, is the most effective strategy you can have. I think going to conferences, making sure you're going to dinner with people. And because we've had several, I remember our first client we ever had in Wyoming, it was actually a state congressman that I met dancing that night. We were line dancing and we started talking and he was like, I love you. I don't even care what you do. I need you in Wyoming. So I actually got the pitch to him, and it was because he liked who we were as a person. And then I took him to dinner, met his contacts in the healthcare side, and that allowed us to really get our first customers in Wyoming. And I'll even tell you, Gary, our first customer we ever had was actually a doctor I went on a date with, and it didn't work out, but she was like, pitch me on your business. And I was like, perfect. So I think for me, the most effective marketing and effective way to get across is just be yourself. And never, every opportunity is a chance to learn. Every conversation is a chance to grow. Even if you don't think it's going to lead to anything, just have a conversation. You have 15 minutes. Everybody has time to talk to somebody. But I always feel that for me, you know, just calling, picking up the phone and calling, they get to hear your voice. You get to ask them the right questions. You get to know who they are as a person. You can't put a price on that. I think that's the most effective way to actually stand out compared to the bombardment of ads and, you know, content people are throwing out there. That's what makes you unique at the end of the day.
No, totally. Can only understand that. So listen, as a final question, Ryan, this is, you know, it's a bit of a loaded question, but I ask all my guests this towards the end. If a founder was, or a leader was listening to this episode or watching this episode and is either going through, is about to go through the kind of growth and pivots that you've had to go through, what is one thing, one takeaway that you would like to share with them from your own experience?
I think a big thing for me is you are where you are right now because you had a dream, you had a goal to start a business, and it took a lot of guts and balls per se to really make that jump to try this out. And so that makes you, I truly believe, you're different. How many friends do you know that work 9 to 5s that wish they could start a business? You did. And so that work, that moxie, that determination that got you here, that's going to set you apart. And times will get hard. There are some hard times. There was times where I was eating rice and eggs for months at a time because I had no money. But if you stick to it and don't give up, whenever you get knocked down, keep getting back up, because I truly believe that's what separates the haves from the have-nots is people. I think a lot of times when things get hard, people give up. It's easier to go back to what's comfortable. But to be truly successful, you kind of have to live in that uncomfortability for a long time. And you just have to keep working, keep moving forward. You know what you want to do. You've already gotten this far. Just don't give up. Just don't give up. Keep working, because I truly believe that's what separates a successful person, not even a business, from somebody who doesn't ever reach their goals is whenever times get hard, a lot of people tend to give up, but you have made it this far. You know what you want to do. Just keep working, keep moving, keep going forward. Don't stop.
Well, there's that tenacity coming out from you again, Ryan. Here's that out grind, out work. Just keep pushing. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. So, Ryan, if people want to get in touch with you, potentially work with you, or whatever the case may be, what's the best way of doing that?
Yeah, so you can go to our website. It's www.earsystems. It's EIRsystems.net. EIR is the Swedish god of health in honor of my grandfather. So he was somebody that I really looked up to business-wise. So earsystems.net. Or you can, my email's on the website, and I'm sure you can reach out to Gary or me, and we'd be happy to put you in contact with somebody from my team. So very excited to be here, and I really appreciate the time today, Gary. It was, it's always an honor. Thank you.
Ryan, it's an absolute pleasure having you here. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your insights with us today. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Yes, sir. Well, I look forward to talking soon again, Gary. And anybody that wants to reach out, I'm happy to always hop on a call. Thank you, guys.
Fantastic. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for yet another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast. And as per usual, if you have picked up any insights or any good ideas or any flashes of inspiration from Ryan today, please make sure you like and comment at the bottom so that people can see what you've picked up and maybe they could use it as well. But more importantly, please make sure you share this episode so that others can grow as well. And until the next episode, keep striving, keep being tenacious, as Ryan says, but more importantly, keep being profitable, and we shall see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.